Hello, I'm Martin.
And I'm Angelina.
And this is the CXCast. Welcome back to the CXCast. I am joined, as ever, by my co-host Angelina. Hello, Angelina.
Hey, Martin.
Hello. And we're also joined by CXCast regular Maxi Schmidt. Hello, Maxi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're always welcome. Now, Maxi is going to talk about some research that she's been doing. I was going to say over the last couple of months, but let's face it, Maxi, this has taken us, what, a year and a half to do because it's so big, this task.
Correct. Thank you for exposing me like this.
not through incompetence, through the fact that we wanted to make an incredibly thorough job of an incredibly large and complex task. So what we're talking about is scaling CX measurement, and particularly we looked at, or Maxi looked at, and I helped as an editor, big global multi-brand complex organizations. So where did this challenge come from, Maxi? What's driving this?
Yes, so we were joking about it, right? But I do have a lot of questions from people who are customer experience leaders in really complex organizations that are about, how do I do measurement across such a complex organization? How do I scale a measurement program that can be successful for such a large organization? Because if I think about that large organization, I need to balance two things, right? I have to have some consistency in my metrics and some oversight about how things are being measured so that the program is easy to understand, that it's efficient, it adheres to best practices. But at the same time, I need to have some adaptation to local needs. And when I say local needs, I mean the needs of business units, the needs of countries, because they need to effectively track customer experience and use those metrics to improve customer experience. Their stakeholders need to be bought in, and the metrics they track need to be relevant for their specific situation. And that tension is from which a lot of questions arise about measurement.
Before this recording, you were sharing a lot of those questions with us, and we were kind of sorting through them. And there are a lot, not enough time in this recording to go through all of them. But to your point about finding that balance, what about this question around, do we need one CX score across the organization? Would that be the easiest way to get that balance if everyone's got the same CX score?
Yes, definitely. The question that's behind this is, do we need to all measure the same metrics? Right. And if we are measuring the same metrics, do we then create a score that we report across your whole organization? Or do we create a score that we only report in a line of business or in a country? And for that, the conclusion is pretty clear from the research. It is very helpful if everybody measures the same metrics. And let's face it, some metrics might not be totally ideal for all parts of the organization, but it's very, very rare that a metric like ease or satisfaction or NPS completely doesn't fit. So there's a lot of advantage in having the same metric that you're measuring, at least at a high level, but there's not so much advantage in trying to aggregate all the scores from across the different lines of businesses or countries or brands to one metric. This is kind of like a two-part answer. So yes, try to measure the same metric if at all possible, but don't try to aggregate a metric that you report at the corporate level, because that metric usually doesn't mean anything, right? You're aggregating across many countries, you're aggregating across lines of business, and the resulting metric is either weighted or not, but it doesn't really tell the audience anything. Typically, it also doesn't move very much. It's a bit like concrete, I mean, the building material. So that is the kind of the second part of that answer.
So if everybody's measuring a fairly consistent set of metrics, so if, imagine I'm running a big global organization with business units in many countries and lots of product lines. So all of my teams are measuring the same thing. Isn't it tempting for me to say, well, I want to compare NPS in Sweden to NPS in Mexico, or I want to compare to my competitors in Mexico? Is that a valid thing that we unlock by doing this?
It's definitely a question that you will get, and it's a thing that people will want to do. It's also completely useless because many of these metrics have some cultural component to them, how people answer the question. And the competitive environment, the customer needs, and even the setup in any kind of country, for example, is different. So when you're comparing levels, for example, a big telco company, right? they were in countries where they were really big, where they were the market leader. Then in other countries, they weren't the market leader and they were in a strong competitive situation. In some countries, the customers were really demanding, and others they weren't. So comparing all of these scores isn't really getting you anywhere. So you should not compare these scores across countries or brands because the competitive environment is different, because the customer demands are different, and because culturally people answer these questions differently. What you should compare is you should compare yourself against your own past in that country or in that brand, because that tells you if you're making any progress.
It's sort of like self-help. I mean, run your own race, but be a part of a community where everyone's cheering for each other.
Yes, yes.
So you're even saying don't compare. I shouldn't compare my Swedish business to my Swedish competitors using a score like NPS.
No, I'm saying that you shouldn't compare your Swedish business to your Switzerland business. You can absolutely compare your Swedish business to your competitors in Sweden. You should just be careful of what kind of metrics you use to compare. Right? We see a lot of companies who use an internal score that they measure themselves and try to compare it to some kind of external benchmark. That typically doesn't work well. So you ideally, when you're trying to compare against your competitors in Sweden as a Swedish business, you do a double-blind competitive study where you have customers of both yourself and your competitors, and you measure, for example, their ease or the satisfaction or the NPS, and then you use that to compare.
So it takes a little work to set this up, but it sounds like in some ways you're really tidying things up here with this approach. I mean, it's simpler in philosophy, even though, I mean, how difficult is it to set up this sort of a measurement program?
I think it's very difficult because as a measurement leader, you have to get people on board with this measurement program because you're not starting from scratch. Every part of your organization will already do one thing or something or the other, right? Imagine you're an organization that operates across 10 countries, right? And maybe three lines of business. They'll all be measuring something already. And now you're coming there and saying, hey, why don't we do this in a more consistent manner? And so that means some people will have to give up something, right? The people who aren't measuring the metrics that you suggest as the consistent metrics will have to give up something. So your task is to convince them that there is an upside in the consistency and that there's an upside in being part of the program. And that is hard, right?
Okay, so we're actually getting into another question in your pile of questions. The question specifically that comes up a lot for you is, who does what between local and central or global resources? And when you're inviting or encouraging folks into a global measurement program, that's when this question becomes really crucial to get right. Can you speak to that question?
Sure. And we even have an example in the research. So if you're a Forrester client, you can easily access it. It's an example from Telefonica, who operates across many countries in Europe and also across many lines of business. It's B2C and B2B. And they have created a clear mapping of who does what in the measurement program. So for example, the global team would be responsible for monitoring these KPIs and making sure that they're all measured the right way, right? They'd be responsible for setting targets. They're responsible for calculating scores that are being reported at the overall level, making sure that there is a consistent measurement model, providing support to the countries. But then in the country teams, we have a responsibility, for example, for adapting questionnaires, for reporting very specific KPIs, for monitoring the vendors or managing the vendors that they use, doing any ad hoc studies, right? So you can see that in that case, the way that they've distributed the work is to both ensure consistency through that global team, as well as local adaptation in the countries.
Can I ask a very tactical question? Because I know this is where leaders will get stuck. We're trying to invite people into this global measurement program, but we also need to have these specific ideas for their role in this. What's the order here? Do we need to kind of plan this all out, what we expect local versus central resources to do? Or are we co-creating, we having conversations? Because we want to convince them and we want to have a clear idea of where to go with this. What's the order here?
It will depend a bit on where you are in the maturity, right? If you are a customer experience leader who is coming into an organization that already has some kind of global customer experience program, the country is already part of this, what you'll do is you'll talk to all of these countries, for example, or lines of business, and you do an assessment on what's there, what they're measuring, and then you we'll start to talk about what's the most useful thing to measure and who should get what task, right? Because you already have these people in place. When you are in a program where you're really limited in your scale and you're trying to then include new countries or new lines of business into the program, then what you do is you'd try to create a perception of value in these lines of business. Like I mentioned earlier, you need to convince them to take part in this. You need to convince them that it's worthwhile to be part of this, which means that they would try to first get a sponsor for this, an executive sponsor that says this is important. And then you would develop, for example, a business case to interest the organizational units in customer experience. We saw that at Heidelberg Materials, right, when they got people on board for the CX program, they made sure that all these local countries knew that it was important to invest in customer experience, for example, right? And that was the way to get them into the program. And then you can do pilot projects with countries that are already in the program and showing that these people get something out of it, out of the program, right? So, for example, a new line of business that comes into the program can see that it's really helpful to have consistent measurement. It's helpful to have standards, and that becomes your value case.
So did you spot any patterns between who does what between central and local teams? Are there any standards for like what should a central team do? What should be devolved to local in market or in region teams?
Yeah, I think the Telefonica example I mentioned earlier is actually a really good example of that, right? Because when you're thinking about what typically the central team does is about defining and evolving standards. It's about collecting metrics, aggregating them, and those are kind of company-wide metrics and target setting. Support is also something that the global team is there for, right? What kind of tools can we give the countries to help them not only do something, kind of measure the metrics, but do something with the metrics? And then for the local organization, they know best the situation in their country. So, for example, they are going to be very important in giving inputs for targets, for example. They're going to be important in selecting which of the optional survey questions to ask in a big relationship survey that they want to put in their country. So their responsibility is to make sure that the global standards are adapted to the local country, and their responsibility lies in ensuring that there's some action locally, so in either through champions they have or through quality circles. And the part that the local team can do is they know best how their country, how their line of business works. So should they go via a business process improvement process? Are they going via some kind of budgeting process? Are they doing it via influence? That's kind of then their purview, because they know best how things work in that country or in that line of business.
So I want to go back to that idea of like selling the value of the centralized program or the standardized program and that storytelling why teams should get involved. What else can you share? What did you learn about the techniques, the ways of getting those regional business units on board? Because I feel like a lot of times it's going to be like, oh, we know best. We don't care about your central program. Go away and leave us alone.
Yes, I think there's two examples from the research that I found really instructive because they address both of the levers you'll have to pull. The first example is from Capital One. That's a large financial services institution with lots of lines of business. And they pulled the CEO mandate card. So the CEO granted the customer experience management team the authority to unify measurement. And in every presentation to C-level or to executives, any metric needs to have the stamp of approval of that customer experience management team in order to be even taken seriously.
So the CEO tells you to do it. It feels like a bit of a cheat code, though. Most firms aren't going to have like that kind of level of backing.
That's the point, right? So ideally, you have that. But, and here's the thing, even if you have that, Martin, that is not enough. Because nobody likes to be told what to do. Basically, even if our listeners are working in companies that are extremely centralized, they shouldn't be relying on that. They should try to get that kind of authority, but they shouldn't rely on that. And that's why I said there's two levers, right? The second lever is co-create with the units what the measurement looks like, what the processes look like, and making sure that you understand the individual situation of the different countries or lines of business so that you can figure out how to best help them. And this was an example from MAN, the truck manufacturer. They were having a program in place like many others, but they were trying to revamp their customer experience score. And what they did is they did a lot of time that they spent with stakeholders. So instead of the headquarter team just saying, here's what we're doing, because we have the authority, they went together with the stakeholders in the different countries and agreed on how to revamp the program so that they have really well accepted program. And so that's that kind of that second lever is working together with the countries or lines of business to make sure that they're getting out of the program what they want and that they can accept even whatever is consistent, they can accept that.
So flip this on its head, because I think most of the way through this, at least I've been assuming we're talking about the central team. Like, how do I as a central, I literally said it, how do I as a central team govern what's going on? What if I'm the CX leader in Sweden and my global team is telling me to do a bunch of things and I don't necessarily agree with them, or I want to try to kind of influence things? How do you see those local teams working more effectively with the central teams?
The local teams that I've talked to often struggle if the central teams are being too top-down, right? So part of the conversation they have to have is to explain to the central team how different their country is. Now, I know everybody always thinks they're different, and maybe it's not the case truly that they're different, but to go to a central team and explain why some of the things that you're being asked to do don't make sense in your case, and how you suggest to, for example, measure instead. There was one example from one of the interviewees where some of the local teams said, you know what, in our country, we really don't want to use the NPS because it's kind of awkward, right? And the central team said, but we need this as a metric. And then the local team said, yeah, okay, but you know what we're really trying to get everybody to work around is that being easier to do business with. Could we not also measure that? And the central team said, yeah, of course. Why don't you also measure that? That's fine. So that's the kind of approach to explain why some of the central stuff isn't working for you and make a suggestion for what to do differently.
I like these healthy conversations that you're encouraging. I think often when business units come to us, I know when they come to me with culture problems, it's because it's difficult to have these conversations, but you have to be straightforward and you have to speak up. And it can feel really stressful if a centralized team is changing the way that you do things and it doesn't make sense. So it's not an easy conversation, but folks can always come to Maxi to help with the talking points.
Yes, and that's why often I talk to the central teams and I tell them, are you sure that you're standardizing this for good reasons? Or are you just being German about it? And I make a joke because I'm German and I can make jokes about that. But there is a level of standardization that is useful, and then there's a level of standardization that is not useful anymore. And for the central teams, that can sometimes be hard to know where they are. So having a conversation with the central team between the central and the local team is helpful, especially because any central team needs to remember that the action will have to happen locally. I don't know, 50% of the action has to happen locally. And they do need the local team's buy-in to drive that action. The power balance is actually quite even between local and central team.
Well, often, certainly in my experience, those local teams aren't even really CX teams. They're literally half an FTE who's got a CX hat that they wear for part of the day. So doesn't the central team have a responsibility for helping, resourcing, you know, not just throwing stuff over the wall and say, hey, do this?
Yeah, absolutely. You find several situations. So when I think about all of the different companies I talked to, there were some where there is the kind of the half FTE situation, right? And there's some that have full teams. I mean, there was one telco firm that has two teams in each of the companies to deal with customer experience stuff. So I don't think we can say it's always a very little in terms of resource. But when I see at the kind of companies where this works well is where a central team is a resource for these local teams, where they, for example, have certain tools available. And with tools, I mean approaches for how to drive action. For example, they have a workshop handy and a central person would be willing to come into the country and facilitate a workshop around what to do with these metrics, how to drive action. At the same time, where this also comes in is that there is a limit to what a local team can do. Many of the customer experience problems that we identify through measurement are not local problems. There are global problems or regional problems. And so a central team can then say, you know what, this is like this example from Shell, right? When a problem can be solved locally, it will be solved locally. But if not, it gets escalated to the regional level. And if it can't get solved there, it's escalated to the global level. So that's how a central team also has the back of local teams to not just say, yeah, fix whatever is available, fix everything locally, but what can we do and what can we fix globally in order to help you focus on the issues that you really need to fix locally?
So there's a parallel here to work I did a few years ago looking at digital transformation and scaling that kind of activity globally, where the teams that become more mature, realize, the central teams, realize that they have to stop just building frameworks and giving them to local teams. And they become more consultative. They start to bring in skills from consultancies like selling, like influence, impact, etc. So the nature of the skills, the makeup of the competencies of the central team changes from where doers into actually where selling this concept and convincing people it's the right thing to do, which is it's a different skill, a different mindset.
Right. As a central team, you should not be writing handbooks and handing them out. That is not adding value, right? But you need to make sure that a local team is enabled to do local change, for example, right? You need to help a local team measure in a more consistent way. You need to help them make sure that all their measurement makes sense. I completely agree with you. You are a service center, not a control center.
All of the themes that you're raising, Maxi, are really consistent with what I hear in culture conversations, and especially why leaders start to develop champions programs so that they can raise the voices on the regional levels and also bring them together so they can hear from each other, oh, is this a regional, or are we hearing a theme here that we need to centralize something to solve this problem? So it's definitely resonating. And I know there's also a lot more in the report, which is called How to Scale CX Measurement Across a Complex Organization. Maxi, you're also always available if folks have amazing case studies that address these complex questions. Where can they reach you?
I'm available at Forrester anytime, or ping me on LinkedIn. There's a lot of companies I interviewed for this research, and I'd be happy to talk about more of these examples.
Awesome. Thanks for joining, as always, Maxi.
Happy to.
And thank you to producers Ellie and Julia, without whom none of this would happen. If you want to get in touch, email us at cxcast@forrester.com. And as always, you can find us at forrester.com or on your favorite podcast platform. So don't forget to like, subscribe, and tune in next time for more CX insights.